Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America, here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
And hour number three. This is Lock and Load, and I'm joined now by writer Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Bill. Glad to be here.
Yes, sir. Good to have you. There's a couple of things you seem to specialize in that you really get interested in, and one of them is the gun buyback. You pay a lot of attention to them.
I think they're interesting.
Yeah. Well, first of all, you term it an Orwellian term. How's it Orwellian?
It's Orwellian.
Yeah.
Because these guns were never owned by the government. You can't buy back something you never had before. So the phrase a gun buyback implies that all guns, virtually all property, really belong to the government, and they're just loaned to you for a while. Oh, that's not the case. It's all private property that the government is asking you to turn in to the police. And they'll give you a gift card or some money, but it's really a gun turn in, not a gun buy back. So that's why I call it Orwellian, because it is factually incorrect for a political purpose.
Right, okay.
So I have been interested in these, and the reason we haven't had a bunch of them about 7 or 8 years. There was a period where the only places you would see them was in these states that have outlawed private sales. And the reason is that before that, about 10 years ago, there were quite a few that went on. And what happened is that private purchasers started showing up at these events, and they would get some pretty good deals, and news coverage, often grudgingly, would show these private purchasers out there, and it would kind of destroy the propaganda value of the event, because what was being pushed by the event organizers was a very simple message: guns are bad. Turn them in. But the private purchasers were putting forward a quite different message, which was guns are valuable. We pay cash. And the two messages don't, line up with each other.
I know.
And then what would happen is that when people would look at the guns that the private buyers got, they go, wow, those are some pretty good guns. I wish I'd been there. And it spread around. So the message went out amongst those who wish to disarm populations: don't do these events. They're counterproductive. They don't help us. And there was several different academic studies that looked at these events and said they don't accomplish anything useful. They're not really worthwhile. If you take that money and spend it on, police salary for another police officer, you'd get a lot more bang for your buck, pun intended. And so they went away from them. Now, you still had them happen in places like California and New York and New Jersey, where private sales were essentially banned. So since you couldn't have private sales show up at these events, they were more useful for pushing the propaganda message.
Right.
So what happened that we get this flurry of them, and there has been a flurry in the last 2 years? Well, what happened was Joe Biden and his administration and the Democrats in Congress pushed through this enormous inflationary fund, borrowing money and creating it out of thin electrons, well, totally recyclable electrons, I should say, and trillions of dollars. And in particular, they created this, I think, American Rescue Money or something like American Rescue Plan. $1.5 trillion. And most of the money was pushed to the Democratic allies and political President Biden's allies, especially in big democratically controlled cities. And they got so much money that they're struggling to find ways to spend all of it.
Right.
And they look and they say, well, gee, what about this buyback stuff? We can get rid of a lot of money that way. And, you know, a lot of people like the idea. And of course, whenever you have a program like this and you aim the money at your friends, we need to hire somebody in the media to, you know, advertise this event. And we need to, hire somebody to make T-shirts. And we need to pay our nonprofit staff plenty of money to organize it. And we need to pay police overtime. Oh, yeah, and there's some money that we'll pay for getting guns, buying guns, too. And it turns out that what I've seen is it's about roughly a third. Looks like about a third of the money, a little more. Will go for salaries and organization and advertising and things like that. So that's a nice little chunk to hand out to your buddies. And then you have the rest of the money, and some of that might end up in the hands of people you want to get it to. You know, maybe you got a gun store that has a bunch of firearms that are not selling. And if they're inexpensive firearms, they might get more at the gun buyback, the gun turn-in, I should say, than elsewhere. I saw something like that happen in Dallas. I am not entirely convinced it was intentional, but it appeared to me this one establishment was inside the political fiefdom of the person who was organizing the buyback, and that establishment ended up with most of the money from the buyback. Well, at least half. So, you know, it's probably just a coincidence. Anyway, so these things have been pushed just because they're a way to get rid of all this enormous amount of money. Of course, you and I and almost everybody else who doesn't get huge amounts of governmental largesse from these programs pay for it because the money in our bank accounts and wallets becomes worth less as inflation goes up. So inflation is an indirect tax on everybody. It's very regressive because it's the same tax on, and more of a tax on poor people than it is on wealthy people, because the wealthy people can put their money into stocks and bonds, and that money goes up with inflation, or, you know, real estate investment, things that have actual value rather than just paper assets. But anyway, as in the case of paper money, I guess I'd say. So what happened in El Paso is they allocated $300,000 for these buybacks, and they said they're using $120,000 of that money for advertising and administrative costs. And El Paso is, there's no question, it's a Democratic Party stronghold. And there were some private buyers at the Dallas event. Unfortunately, none of them was an attorney. And so the police kind of bullied them a little bit and made it a little harder for them to access everybody at the event.
Let me get you a hold right there, if you would be so kind.
Go ahead.
Coming up on the first break, talking about the Orwellian gun buyback with Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load. We'll be right back. What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
I've seen just about every corner of this country, 3 million miles in my career. I spend a lot of hours on the road, but I love being my own boss. The road can be a beautiful place, but you're out here on your own. There certainly are risks. I'm Charles. I'm a truck driver, a husband, and a father. And that's why I choose Federal.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
And welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten, talking about the El Paso gun buyback. So,
yeah, or as I like to call them, gun turn-in.
Yeah.
But anyway, so the police were a little more hostile at this event than I've seen them at, say, Dallas or Houston. And But still, people got some pretty good deals. I had happened to have the fortune of having a source at the event, so I got some pictures and firsthand reporting from it. And one of the people there got what looks to be a virtually new HKBP9 in case with the extra grip inserts, magazine loader, extra magazine, everything. I think they paid $150 for it. Then somebody else got a really nice antique Remington. I couldn't be sure if it was a model 24 or 241. Both of them are near copies of the Browning Takedown 22 that has the magazine through the buttstock. Very nice little rifle.
Right.
Highly sought after. And then my source ended up with a double barrel 12 gauge Oxford Arms shotgun. And those are a utility gun. It turns out this one was probably made in the 20s or 30s. And at that time, Oxford Arms was a store name, and the shotguns that they sold were a copy. Well, I'm not saying a copy. It's not exactly a clone. A variation is probably the better word, of the Stevens 311. And those are very good little shotguns. It's a double trigger, double barrel, in pretty good shape. The recoil pad, made of rubber, was deteriorating. They tend to do that after 50 or 60 years. But otherwise, very useful little, nice little shotgun. And then another private buyer got a Ruger P-94.
I think I might have had one. That was the polymer-lowered 45 ACP they made out of the P-90 series, right?
Well, they need a 45 version, but most of these were in 40 caliber.
Okay.
And as I recall, this one, I think it had an aluminum frame. They're good little pistols. Everybody that I've talked to or read about who had them said they were very reliable, accurate, you know, decent pistols. Maybe just a little heavier than the polymer frame guns, but
right.
Decent pistols, and I don't recall what this one went for. It's $150-$200, which is a very good deal for a decent quality 40 caliber pistol. And so those were some of the things. That's not all of them, but you know, I have a source. My source, who was there to participate in the event, it wasn't his full time job to get pictures of what everybody else bought. You know, so. But I did get some decent pictures, and it gives you an idea
right.
of what is available at these events. So that pretty much covers what happened at the they're going to have a couple more.
Yeah. Do we have any idea what kind of person is going to a gun buyback? I know some people look at this, some of these, depending on the rules, they'll take the rules and use them for their own, enrichment by 3D printing a bunch of stuff.
Does. I mean, you know, don't we all look for
easy money
items we can buy to get an advantage on our taxes and things like that?
Right.
I mean, people, there's nothing wrong with that. And I would say you are correct, but I have observed, I've gone to a number of these events. There are essentially three classes of people who turn in guns at these events. The most common, I'd say it's the biggest chunk of them, are what I call, people inherit guns, inheritors. They inherited a gun or several guns from a relative, often a grandfather or a husband or an uncle, and they're not gun enthusiasts. They really don't have any interest in the guns, but they got them. And so they're trying to figure out what to do with them. They don't know anything about gun shops. They don't know anything about gun laws. You know, the TV makes it sound like guns are something you got to be really careful about when you sell them. And so they hear one of these events being advertised that somebody will give them some cash gift cards for the gun. All they got to do is show up, turn it in, no questions, no problems. And so that's what they do. And sometimes they bring really valuable guns because they're ignorant about the value of them and turn them in. And I've seen it where people have purchased guns that were worth thousands of dollars for a couple hundred bucks. And I have seen guns that were highly valuable that were turned in to be destroyed. So that brings us to the second category of people. Well, actually, I'll save them for last. The second category, the next most common, I would call the economic turn-ins. And that's people who have guns. They know about guns. They know how much guns are worth. And they have some guns that aren't worth much. You know, I was in that category at one buy back. I had a couple of 22 rifles that I'd gotten over the years, and it would cost more to fix them than they were worth.
Right. Okay.
So, you know, they really didn't have any value at all because I would have to spend more than what they were worth when they were fixed to fix them. So I took them up to one of these gun turn-in events in Phoenix and turned them in and got, you know, $100 gift cards each. I mean, they were missing parts. They didn't work right, but they took them at the turn-in. So that's the economic buyer, and that was what happened in Dallas. I mean, we had one entity, I will say, because I told them I wouldn't publish their name, that turned in, or I don't know how many. I think they turned in about 50, but they brought about 100 shotguns to the event to turn them in. And they were guns that they, for whatever reason, they did not believe that they could sell them. It had a defect of some kind. But they took them in at the buyback, so they got money out of it. I would guess that it's possible that some of these, which were virtually new over under shotguns, I mean, I looked at them and I said, I'll take a couple of them, you know. And the defect in what I heard in the grapevine did not seem to me to be all that horrible, you know, like maybe an ejector wouldn't eject a shell. But, you know, I have fingers. I could reach in there and pull that empty out.
Hang on for me, if you will. Talking to Dean Weingarten. This article, by the way, is at amoland.com, where nearly 2,400 others of Dean's articles are. And that's the beauty of the archive they keep there. There is a lot of educational stuff, a lot of things that he's put up there that's still poignant today. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
When it comes to online gun shops, Primary Arms is one of America's largest retailers of new firearms, parts, accessories, and gear. They stock over 600 popular brands, all with everyday low prices and fast shipping. If you ever have any questions about a product, their team of product experts will help you make the right purchase. So, don't settle for less. Visit PrimaryArms.com today and see why so many gun owners make it their first destination for all of their firearm needs.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
USA News Update. Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville is releasing his hold on certain military promotions, despite the Pentagon's abortion policy remaining unchanged.
They didn't get what they wanted, we didn't get what we wanted, and, you know, it's just, when you change the rules, it's hard to win.
He said he will only obstruct promotions for four-star generals and officers. The Israel-Hamas conflict in its 60th day, with Israeli forces conducting a ground assault in southern Gaza, targeting suspected hiding places of Hamas leaders. The United Nations has issued a warning of an escalating humanitarian crisis as the campaign in the region persists. In the most recent indication of a cooling labor market, job openings reached a two-year low in October. According to new government data, there were slightly over 8.7 million vacancies during the month. This marks a decrease of over 600,000 openings, surpassing expectations for a significant drop. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guide with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
I spend a lot of time in the garage, but even more time in the rain, sleet, and mud. In 95, I helped tow your moving trailer. In 05, I helped you get out of a ditch. Yeah, I know I'm a bit rusty, and sadly in 09, it was sparks from me, your handy chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Sparks from dragging chains can start a wildfire. Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten. We need to finish up the
Let me finish up a little bit.
Yeah.
I said there were three categories that go to these gun turning events that they call buybacks.
Right.
The first are the inheritors. They get guns. They don't know what to do with them, so they take them back. The second are the economic types. They have guns. They know what guns are worth, and they have some guns that are worth less than what they'll pay at the buyback. So they take them to the buyback and make money. Or make value, because sometimes they're gift cards. The third type are the ideological types. And these are the kinds that are real, I don't know where they got the guns from. Often they are inheritors as well. And they want to support the idea that guns are bad and you need to turn them in. And I even have a record of them, one of these types, turning in a near-mint Colt Python at the one of the Tucson gun turning events, worth thousands of dollars. They would not take thousands of dollars cash for it. They insisted they wanted it turned in so it could be destroyed. Now, fortunately, there aren't large numbers of them, but there are some of them at these events also.
Okay. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me, but yeah.
You know, ideologies, you know, they start from premises different than ours.
Oh, well.
So, should we go to the bear story?
Let's talk about the Washington State bear attack that was stopped with a revolver.
Yeah, this is fascinating to me. I have one of my sources does a lot of traveling and hunting. You know, he's independent means, and he likes to hunt, and he has helped me find quite a few incidents. And so he was talking to somebody and found that this person had shot a bear in self-defense with a revolver. So, of course, I was interested, and I interviewed the fellow, and everything he said matched up beautifully, and he had, you know, a picture of the bear skin that he had collected from this event. And his name's Travis Newman. And in 2005, he was archery hunting in Washington State. And he'd drawn this archery elk tag for the Blue Mountains, which is near Walla Walla, Washington. And then late in the evening of the 20th of September, he'd already filled his elk tag, by the way. But he was out walking, and on a familiar elk trail, it's way back in, I don't know, maybe he was scouting. He said he was walking there, and it was getting near dusk. And he rounded a corner. He thought to himself, I don't remember seeing that stump there before. Well, all of a sudden, the stump was only about 10 yards away. All of a sudden, the stump erupted into a big bear coming at him full bore and furiously chomping its jaws. And Travis, you know, Travis thought, well, that bear's going to bluff. But he took a step back and he speed drew his Taurus Tracker 45 Colt. There weren't a lot of those made. Stainless steel, very nice revolvers. He had it in an Uncle Mike holster in a cross draw, so he could get it from his left side drawn with the right. And it was loaded with Remington 250 grain jacketed hollow points. And the bear, it's still coming. And he's speed drawing. He's going, this is real. And he single action, he cocked it for the first shot. And he fired it. And he said the bear was about 10 feet from him when he fired that first shot. And he missed. The shot went over the back of the bear. And he fired his second shot at about 4.5 feet. And he thinks he hit the bear, but it didn't have hardly any effect. Hit it in the, probably in one of the hands. And they found, you know, a bullet when they skinned it out. So, or the entrance wounds. And, then the third shot, the bear was almost right even with him, almost under his right arm. And he shoots and he breaks the bear's back, just a bit above the hips so that the back, the hind legs are disabled. And then he steps trying to evade the bear. He steps back as the bear goes by him. He fires the last two shots, double action, into the back end of the bear. And all that took place much more rapidly than I can say it, probably in 3 to 4 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, it's just bam, 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 bam type thing. And then he's on the edge of a ravine in, you know, wooded area. And the bear goes over the edge to his right. And this is the upper end of the Wolf Fork Creek. That creek flows into Dayton, Washington. And he's standing there with an empty revolver. It's not like he's standing there just wondering. He is ejecting cartridges from that revolver, puts them into one pocket. He fishes in his other pocket, pulls out his spare ammunition, 4 rounds. So he loads the revolver with the remaining 4 rounds he has, puts the empty chamber underneath the hammer. And the bear at this time, and this is all happening rapidly, is making a real racket down below in this ravine. And he's thinking that bear is going to be coming right back at him. But he doesn't know exactly where all the shots went by the minute. And looks down, and the bear is sitting on its butt across the ravine, against the far bank, about 15 yards away. So he pulls up the revolver and starts firing, but as he starts shooting, the bear starts rolling and moving, and he misses 3 shots. And the bear starts going down the ravine, and there's a deadfall tree of some kind there, and the bear starts going under it, but its hind legs are disabled, and it gets stuck. So it can't go forward, and it can't go backwards. And Travis thinks, well, this is my chance. He has 1 shot left in the revolver. He runs up to where the bear is, puts 1 foot on the log, and at point blank range fires between the bear's shoulder blades, angling toward the front. And at that point, as he fires, the log moves, the bear flips out under that log and starts just flipping and rolling and turning and tossing and finally piles up about 30 yards. Down the ravine. So Travis holsters the revolver, snaps it in place, draws his knife and starts moving toward the bear. And he says, I don't want to get into a knife fight with that bear. And so he waits. Now, the Bears there, now the Bears sort of got on its butt sitting again, and he's watching it for several minutes. And while he's watching it, it's like the Bear is, you know, almost nodding off, like it's, you know, about ready to expire, which probably is true, pretty close. It's been hurt badly. At this time, it's been hit with, you know, let's see, four rounds of ammunition. Yeah, 45 long Colt. So he's watching it, and it would, like, perk up a little bit. It would start, like, dropping off. And so it looked like it was kind of going unconscious. So he thought, well, let's see. So he let go a little low whistle, you know. And all of a sudden, a bear's head pops up, and I go, whoop! You know, like, you can't sneak up on me. So Travis thought about it. He said, you know, I need more ammunition. It's getting dark. So he heads back out to get back to where he can get reinforcements and ammunition. And then he goes to a friend of his, a taxidermist. And the next morning they come out to collect the bear. Taxidermist has a rifle to back him up, and he has more ammunition. Well, then they get back, and the bear is not where he left it. See, where'd that bear go? And they start doing the classic search, going in big circles, little circles, and then bigger and bigger. You know, kind of a spiral pattern looking for, and they find the bear. There's an elk wallow. And it's kind of in a depression, probably in the bed of the ravine is what I'm thinking. And it has a lot of mud in the bottom, and they can just see, like, the edge of the bear's shoulder sticking up above the mud. It dug himself right down into the mud, and one side of his head and a little bit of his jaw and a nostril and an eye and an ear are showing. Well, Travis thinks that bear's, you know, it's done for. And he starts going down.
Hang on for me. I was just too busy listening to the story. Sorry. We'll be right back talking to Dean Weingarten. This is Lock and Load.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Thank you. wearing extras.
No, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Is Lock and Load. I'm talking to Dean Weingarten. Talk about this bear.
Yeah, this bear had been shot like four times.
Yeah.
By Travis Newman. And it had, he decided he didn't want to go. He was out of ammunition, decided not to go up against the bear with just a knife. He thought the bear was probably about to expire, but he didn't want to poke it with a knife while it was doing so. So he went to get reinforcements, and he came back the next morning, and after some searching, they found the bear, and it had dug itself down into a elk wallow. And so it was all covered up with mud, you know, inside this, up to, you know, just a little bit of its head and shoulder was showing.
Right.
And he thought the bear was dead. And so Travis, this is a little bit of a depression, so his friend stays kind of on a shelf. So Travis has his revolver out, and he's going down, he cocks the revolver, and he starts to step across this wallow, and he steps on the bear's shoulder, that's a little bit that's showing, to get to the other side. And his buddy is up above on the shelf, says, hey, stupid, what are you doing? You know, be careful. And so he's on the other side, he's about 2 feet from where the bear's head is, and he starts talking with his buddy. And the buddy's eyes start getting kind of white and wide, and all of a sudden, as the bear's head erupts out of the wallow, and it chomps his teeth, ka-chomp, about 2 feet from him. And he said that was probably the last energy the bear had, but he shot the bear behind the head to finish it off, finishing shot, you know, coup de grace. And they started pulling this bear out of this wallow because it was all submerged in the mud and muck. And he said, you know, he thought he had shot a big bear. And when they looked at it, it was just a little bit of his head showing the wall. He said, that's not the bear I shot. The bear I shot was a lot bigger than that. So they start pulling it out. And the more they pull it out, the more bear there was. And it turned out to be a very big bear for the area. It squared at about 6 feet, I understand, depending on how you measure it. And over 6 feet, which is a good size black bear. Now, this black bear was a cinnamon phase black bear, which means that it's brown with highlights, you know, sort of a cinnamon colored, and those are common in that area. It took them 2.5 hours. They got that bear dug out, and then they basically skinned it, and they said, well, see, that's a lot to carry out. We'll go back, get a horse, and come back, and then we'll pack it out of here. So they did that. It would be the next day that they had to come back to get it. And as Travis was going back out with the bear, he went past the place where he'd seen the bear the first time. And he thought about it, and he realized what had probably happened was that he was wearing a black ball cap and black sweatshirt and black Wrangler jeans, and the sun was starting to go down, and the light was fading, and what he found as he went out is that bear had been feeding on a mule deer doe carcass. And when he came around the corner, the bear couldn't smell him because of the way the wind was, and it probably thought it was another bear trying to steal its meal. And it came at him, you know, instinctively, and probably didn't realize he was human until he started shooting at it. So that was the way he thought that it had probably happened. But even if the bear thinks you're another bear, when it swats you with its paws or bites you, it still does a lot of damage. So, you know, he was definitely under threat and did the right thing in shooting the bear. And he did not have to worry about justifying himself because it happened to also be bear season,
right?
And he had the proper license to take the bear.
So that's
why he ended up with the bear skin rug on his wall.
So yeah, that's the actual bear.
Yeah, that's the actual bear that he shot.
Yeah,
in the picture at Amelie.
Yeah,
and then he's got the bear. He loads it up on his horse, a buckskin, he said. And as he's starting to go out, he's only about 100 yards away from where he shot the bear, you know, where the trail was. And he looks and can see across the drainage there. And there, 400 yards away, across the drainage, is another cinnamon bear as big as the one he had killed. And so it had been a really good berry year. It had been a good year for elk calves, both of which would tend to add to these bears getting bigger because they had plenty to eat. And it was before wolves were reintroduced or re-brought back into the area. And so it was a good year for bears, and he ended up with a very nice bearskin trophy after shooting a bear that was coming at him full bore from only 30 feet away.
Right.
So it's another pistol defense effective against bears, and it will go into the database when I do an update. Hopefully I'll do that in the next few months. There's getting to be a fair number of stories I need to add.
Time to write a book, Dean.
You are correct. I just am, you know, just have to get beyond lazy. I'm having so much fun writing these stories that it's hard to get away, you know, of course, time to do a book. But a book would be useful to a lot of people, I think, because they'd have everything in one place and explain what's going on. You can see some of the statistics of, and you can understand the dynamics better. Unfortunately, some of the things that have been called scientific studies in this area, they are not very well done in trying to understand what actually happens.
Right.
And so when you read them, you realize that there's a reason they come up with the statistics they do, and those statistics are not particularly valid. And when you're only talking about a couple hundred incidents, that's a pretty small number to do statistics on. Now, what we do, what I've done with all these, is as with this story, we provide a narrative of what happened.
Right.
Some people might say, well, he didn't need to shoot that bear. If he'd have just yelled at it more or waved his hands more, that bear would have probably just went by him and never bothered him a bit.
Mm.
Well, so I don't think that's the right way to see it. You got a black bear, of all things, coming at you full tilt from 30 feet away. You don't have a lot of time to decide that bear won't hurt me. You know, I think you're better off defending yourself, and that was a valid defense. But you understand what happened better, and you can make your own choice. But when all you hear is something claiming that firearms are only 50% effective, well, what does that mean? In those studies, they don't tell you what the circumstances were,
right?
How it happened. And they only pick certain events and don't pick other events. So I prefer the method where you let people know and then they can decide what's useful and what isn't to them.
Yeah, that would kind of be, yeah.
Yeah, and that's our story from Washington State in 2005.
We don't really have time to get into the mountain lion. That'll have to be picked up next week, I do think. Now, will the mountain lion... Now, is there going to be a separate mountain lion database versus the...
There's not very many, not that many incidents, but I believe I will write an article about the surprising number of mountain lion attacks we're seeing. I have been surprised. I mean, it was all downplayed earlier in the 70s and 80s, and mountain lions never really attack people. They're so rare, it never happens. But what we're seeing is when you don't hunt them, people are at risk. And here's a little funny thing about this mountain lion attack. The prosecutor in this case had a relative who had to shoot a mountain lion out west when he was archery hunting, and the authorities out there ruled it self-defense. So the prosecutor was better educated than most in the potential seriousness of mountain lion attacks.
Right.
I didn't even think about that. What's the odds? Well, apparently there's a lot more of these events than we think. I started looking at situations where archery hunters had to shoot mountain lions in self-defense. And I came up with five of them in the last decade. I thought that was an extraordinary amount.
Right.
Especially when we're told they're just nice furry forest creatures and they never bother you.
We're running out of time, Dean. As usual, great stories. Thank you very much for joining me today.
It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Talk to you guys on Monday. This has been Lock and Load.
Tactical Innovations is the ultimate one-stop shop for all your competition, law enforcement, and military needs. Home of the weapons of WIC. Now featuring the new Pit Viper. Terran is the one who trained the one, and he is Hollywood's go-to for taking the weapons and training to the next level. His legacy of championship wins, spanning across decades, is due to his uncompromising dedication to perfection. These innovations are now offered to you at TerranTactical.com.
At Spikes Tactical, we are all shooters with a very simple mission. Make the best product we can perfect at the best possible price for our consumers. We strive to produce the best components and rifles available, with quality control second to none, because real-world events don't allow for a second chance. Whether you are an operator, competitor, or home defender, Spikes Tactical will serve you well. Go to SpikesTactical.com. Spikes Tactical, 100% American-made to the highest standard.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.